This is ESPN New York Tonight with Larry Hardesty and Gordon Damer on 98.7 ESPN.
Second hour. Monday night. When? Thursday. Thursday night. So we missed two nights.
Whatever day
it is. I don't know where I am. Two nights off. I'm good.
Get us to Saturday. That's the thing right now. Like, it just feels like you got this excitement. All right, we know who the Knicks are playing. We've been looking ahead to these playoffs for forever. Mm-hmm. Knicks is the 2 seed, and now we got to wait until Saturday at 6 o'clock before we get things started.
I know. And we got a doubleheader play-in tomorrow night that you can hear right here on 98.7 ESPN.
There you go.
Following the K Show, I believe. And, you got the Final Four going in to see who's going to be the 8 seed in the East and the 8 seed in the West. So that's going to be fascinating. I'll have my eyes on that Chicago-Miami game. I agree with Lee from Manhattan. Can Billy Donovan beat Spoelstra? That's going to be the question. Can he come up with something?
Where were these Bulls all year?
I don't know.
Because if they played like this, they would not be in the position that they're in right now.
You're right. But you know what this means, Gordon? They did this without Zach LaVine. So he'll be on the Knicks playlist again.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, yes. If I had a dollar for every time Zach LaVine was rumored to be going to the Knicks, I would almost be as rich as Zach LaVine.
Yeah, almost, but not almost. Quite. Almost, not quite. Almost. Get to the calls in a second. Let me pay off the tease. Gordon, OG Anunoby.
Yeah.
And Deuce McBride are the two guys I'm really looking at for this season, in this postseason for the Knicks. OG Anunoby is obvious. Defensively, he'll be fine. I'm not worried about him defensively. I know he'll be great. A little concerned about the elbow, but I'm not worried about him defensively. If he can give me 15, 16 points a game, Gordon, I'm good. I'm good. If I can get that from him, that would be one of the people that's giving Jalen Brunson some help scoring-wise.
Mm-hmm.
The other person for me, and I've talked about it a lot, is Deuce McBride. And he's been, I mean, his transformation has been just unbelievable. Thank you, Leon Rose, for bringing Alec Burks here, because Deuce McBride said, Alec Burks is not taking my job. So thank you. You lit a fire under that young man. He's been phenomenal offensively, Gordon. His defense has been good all year, consistent. Now the question becomes, can he have that same performance, that same confidence against teams that are going to pressure him defensively when he brings the ball up? Will he be able to still have the shots, still make the shots, still go to the basket if the three's not working? Will he still have that versatility to his game? Will he still be able to run the offense effectively so that I can steal, I being Tom Thibodeau, can steal maybe another 2 or 3 minutes per half that I can rest Jalen Brunson so that in the fourth quarter, if I need him to go the whole fourth quarter, he can go that whole fourth quarter. Those are the two guys obviously there's other guys I'm looking at. Obviously, I want to see what Bogdanovich does. Right. Obviously, I want to see, well, Mitchell Robinson, is he going to be able to be healthy? He left the game early. There's other people, obviously, that I'm looking at. But those two are key for me to see how they perform, because they're going to be big for the Knicks, understanding, Gordon, that Tibbs is such a defensive-minded guy, and those two guys play defense. They're going to be in the game a little bit longer for their defense anyway. So if they could give you some scoring, it would be great.
Yeah, and those two guys are main parts of the core of the now, but also of the future, right? Like, OG, it's not just about this series or this year. You're hoping that when you make that trade, he's going to be here for the long haul, especially with the way that he's kind of transformed the Knicks defense since coming on board. And then McBride is a super young guy, and this is his first real taste of things. And over the last 3 or 4 games before the end of the regular season, kind of cooled off from where he was. Mm-hmm. So if the question here is, if the number one question for the Knicks is, who are you getting scoring from outside of Jalen Brunson? I think you hit on the two main guys, right? Like, I don't know that we're expecting, it's not like Bogdanovich is part of the future, right? He's part of the now, but and maybe he'll be here next year, but who knows? But these are two guys that really speak to who the Knicks are in the now, but also moving forward beyond this year.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. And listen, Bogdanovich, he's a rental, Gordon. If he doesn't perform well, he's out.
Yep, absolutely.
Same thing with Burks. Bye. Yeah. Burks may be bye anyway.
Yeah, I think Burks will be bye. Maybe they'll bring him back a third time, see if it's any better.
No, they're not going to do that. Two times you're out. No, we're good.
Once a Nick, always a Nick. And they were really sticking to that motto a little bit too much when it came to
Burks. Yeah, they are. They are. But, listen, there might be a game where he comes in defensively. You know, a taller player.
The thing about the playoffs, it's so wild in that, okay, it's only two teams. It's only, at the most, seven games. But the twists and the turns that you get from game to game. You get one game, say the Knicks come out game one, and they blitz the Sixers, and they win by 20, and you think to yourself, okay, this is going to be a super easy series. And then the next game, it's a completely different thing. You start from zero again, and it's all about the adjustments that are made off the first game. So these series, it doesn't – from game to game, it's like a series in and of itself.
It's crazy. You could have a really bad regular season, a poor regular season, and have a great series.
Yeah.
and have a tremendous impact.
Oh, absolutely.
And just turn things around. You just
if Alec Burks gets in there in game one and hits a big play or a big defensive stop or a big shot or something like that, nobody's going to be saying, oh – yeah, well, I wish they would have never played this guy. No, I knew this is the moments we got Alec Burks for. So, this is the time where you can make your name, or to a certain extent, you can be. Think about the regular seasons that Julius Randle has had.
Mm-hmm.
And they have all been for naught based on how poorly he's played in the postseason.
It's all about what you do when the light shines brightest, Gordon Boomer. Mm-hmm. It is. D's in Brooklyn. What's up, D?
Did D put us on hold? Are we on hold here? What are we doing here? I thought we got Muzak there in the background. I thought I was in the elevator or something.
I thought so. D must be going up to work. We got stuck in the elevator with D.
Very strange.
All right, D, try us later. Richardson, Manhattan. What's up, Richard?
D gets an F.
Larry, Gordon, before I get to my basketball stuff, let me just ask you guys a quick movie question. Larry and Gordon, separate now. Uh-huh. Six of my favorite movies, six different actors. Larry, the first one goes to you. Billy Dee Williams in Brian's Song. Mm-hmm. Sidney Poitier in To Serve With Love. Okay. And Lou Gossett Jr., Officer and a Gentleman. Now, fabulous. I'm just going to rate, I want you to rate those three actors, not the movies, those three. Billy Dee, Lou Gossett Jr., and Sidney Poitier. Give me your 1, 2, 3.
Sidney, Louis, and Billy.
Okay. Gordon, for you, the other three, Dustin Hoffman, Kramer versus Kramer.
Right.
Pretty Woman, Richard Gere. Michael Douglas, Fatal Attraction. Give me your 1, 2, 3 there.
In terms of just as actors?
Just the actors. Michael Douglas, Dustin Hoffman, and Richard Gere.
Dustin Hoffman is probably the best actor of the three. It feels like I like Michael Douglas the best. I'd put him 2, but he's always kind of playing Michael Douglas in every movie. And then who's the third one you said?
Richard Gere
would be third. Although I did love Richard Gere in Primal Fear. That was a really good one.
All right.
I'm going to put that one on the list. I just remembered. Right. I watched some movies with my son.
Philly, New York playoffs. Of course, my favorite New York team of all time came out of nowhere. It was Rick Pitino's team 35 years ago, Larry. You remember that?
When
Mark took out the broom and we swept Philly.
Yes.
Now, my question to you guys. First of all, two of the five principals in that series still pertinent. Charles Barkley still on TV, still doing his thing. He's great 35 years later. Mm-hmm. And look at Pitino. 35 years later, he's still pertinent, still making a name. Okay, Larry, Gordon, who do you go with? I don't think Moses was there, but Moses or Joel Embiid? Larry, who do you go with?
Moses, I got to go with Embiid. Moses was the better defender, not the scorer that Embiid is. And it's a different era, too, Richard.
Okay.
I mean, you know, Moses wasn't shooting threes, but Embiid does. I got to go with Embiid.
I would go with Moses just because I know what I'm going to get out of Moses for the full series. Embiid, this version, I don't know what I'm getting out of him.
Moses Malone. 4-4-4. We swept him. 4-4-4. Man, the late Moses Malone. It's unbelievable. Gordon, one of the great offensive rebounders in the history of the NBA and ABA. Both of them together, Moses Malone.
Oh,
fabulous. When we return, Gordon Denver, we're going to turn our attention to a little baseball. It is just so funny. There was a player for the local teams yesterday that got a big hit. And Gordon, you would have thought that people were thinking that this would never happen again. Like, he got a hit. Like, oh my God. We never thought he was going to get another hit ever. Like, ever. You know who I'm talking about. We'll discuss it next on 98.7 ESPN.
This is ESPN New York Tonight with Larry Hardesty and Gordon Damer on 98.7 ESPN.
Gordon, by the way, the name of that movie I was talking about, the name of the series?
Yeah.
You Don't Know Me.
You Don't Know Me. Okay.
You Don't Know Me.
Well, I'm certainly not going to know them now because...
Absolutely, because I warned
you. Larry Hardesty review.
But I tell you, there's one that's really good I saw on that movie. Really good. The Bricklayer.
The Bricklayer.
Oh, you'll like that, Gordon.
All right.
Oh, you'll like that. Yeah, The Bricklayer. And John Winthrop, Pete and Sales. Mm-hmm. I'm not mentioning those people's name again until they put some money on our account. You know, the people that where the series is on. And the
movies okay.
On. Yeah, I'm not mentioning them. You know, I'm giving them free publicity. No, they
I got
earn
you.
It. Give me some money. Give us some money. That's what we want here.
All right.
Gordon Damer?
Yeah.
It's early in the baseball season.
Yes.
The Yankees have only played 19 games.
Mm-hmm.
They got out to a tremendous start.
Yeah.
They are 13-6. They are one of, two teams that have won 13 games in the majors. Them and Cleveland.
Right.
Well, Cleveland's got 13 wins. I don't know how that happened. All right? But I will say this. That was a huge win yesterday, Gordon Day.
Needed it.
Huge come-from-behind win.
Mm-hmm.
You got, Soto, home run. You got Giancarlo Stanton, who looks like he's 23.
Yep, keeping it up. Yeah, he's looked great.
You know, he's looked fabulous. And, of course, the guy who, oh, my God, what's going on with Aaron Judge? It's over. Oh, what are we going to do? He's not the same. He's not, he's striking out too much. Big RBI double, game winner. See ya. We're leaving north of the border.
Well, I say it every year, and it's true every year. Every single solitary season, people forget how long a baseball season is.
Fair
and well. You think that the first month is the most important thing, and then you think that the month of May, this is a critical time.
Mm-hmm.
Think about how long. We are going to. They're going to be playing baseball essentially every single day.
Yeah,
I know they have off days and there's the All-Star break, but it's day in, it's day out, it's game in, it's game out. And the Yankees have gotten off to an excellent start, a far better start than I was thinking they were going to get off to.
Mm-hmm.
But I think by now the track record of Aaron Judge should kind of speak for itself.
It should.
Right? Like the guy's in what, his ninth season, his tenth season? You know what you're going to get. As long as he's healthy and as long as he's playing, you know roughly the numbers that you're looking at. And they're not going. He's not going to hit 190 in a season.
Mm-mm.
At some point, he's going to get hot. And maybe the most positive aspect of their hot start is that they've essentially gotten it done without Judge really care. It would be one thing if they gotten off to a 13-6 start and it was just Judge carrying them every single day like it was a couple of years ago. That has not been the case. So... I have no, out of the list of concerns that I have, Aaron Judge is not on that list.
He can't be. He shouldn't be.
Of
because you know
not.
What you're going to get. The old saying of look at the back of the baseball card, that
right.
he's in the dictionary where it says look in the back of the baseball card. You know what you're going to get. Gordon, you're going to get 40. I'll be kind to him because he's not going to do a 60 plus again, I don't think.
I don't think.
Although you don't know.
Yeah. But, you hit 52 one time, right?
Exactly. I mean, Gordon, he's going to hit 40 plus home runs. He's going to have 110, 115 RBI. You know what you're getting from him. He's going to give you a great outfield play. That's what you get. The biggest concern is, can we keep him on the field? That's the only thing you're wondering. And to be honest, he's played a lot of center, Gordon. I'm surprised. This is, and you follow them every day. I haven't been, embedded with them. But this looks like a different Yankee team. They're not resting people as soon
no,
as...
No,
like,
they're being much more aggressive. This is different. Yeah, this is much more. There's no more layup lineups in the final game of series. There's no... The doubleheader that they had, it was essentially the same lineup, game one to game two, just flipping the catcher. Yeah, it has been a different approach this year. It has not been giving away games or playing for the long haul or thinking about mm-hmm. September and we got to keep these guys fresh when they're three games into the season. This guy needs a break and all that type of nonsense. Here's the thing for Judge. For all the numbers that he puts up of home runs or on-base percentage, the only stat that really matters for him that will tell you generally how the other stats are going to go, games played.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. And he plays it. That's the only stat that matters. Is he going to play in 105 games? Is he going to play in 130 games? Is he going to play in 150 games? Yeah. If he plays in 150 games, he's going to have a whole lot better season than if he plays in 130 or 120 or 110. So the only stat that matters with Aaron Judge is how many games he plays, because when he plays, he is productive at a high level, and you know that.
And here's the other thing we know, too, is that even if he's not hitting, he's still affecting how you pitch guys in front of him and behind him. He's still affecting it. He's still in the, because one pitch is gone. One pitch right. changes everything. So even if he's not like hitting the way we know he can hit, I mean, Gordon, you got 13 wins. No Gerrit Cole, as Joe Leo mentioned. You got no Cole. You really had you're missing Loaisiga. You know, I mean, you know, Glaber's not hit yet. I mean, you know, Volpe's been amazing.
Yeah.
You know, so you've had this is a nice start. This is a start that, you know, as a Yankee fan, you can appreciate this start. You can appreciate it because it's like you're figuring gloom and doom. Oh, my God, no Gerrit Cole, or what are we going to get?
You lose Loaisiga right off the bat for the entire season. You have Judge hitting 183 with slugging under 400, and you're sitting there in first place in the American League East.
Yeah. Now, you've lost a couple of games.
After opening the season, we thought, right? Oh, you're opening the season in Houston against the Astros. How are you going to be able to handle that? Oh, my gosh. And meanwhile, the Astros have been a walking disaster.
Gordon, what is going on in Houston?
They got to find the trash cans. They got to get those trash cans out of hibernation. Go down to the Home Depot and get the trash, not the rubber ones.
No.
We need those metal guys. We need those metal guys.
Absolutely. And where's the sound guy with the microphone? Yeah, what's going on with that?
We gotta put everybody back in their proper places here. We gotta get the band back together, so to speak.
Definitely. So Yankee fans, I'm curious. I mean, what's your biggest concern right now? What's your biggest surprise? Gordon, I don't know what your biggest concern would be. I mean, you're winning. You're the fact that you are winning. You might be concerned with Nestor Cortez's last start, but I mean, he was so good before that. Everybody's due a bad start.
I would think that the biggest concern still is the health of Gerrit Cole. When is he coming back? Is he coming back? And when he comes back, does he stay back?
Yeah.
That to me is still the thing that, because it's great to be 13-6 to start the season, but the Orioles are still right there. You've seen some good stuff out of the Blue Jays. It's going to be a very competitive division. I think it's going to be a competitive American League. So
yep.
I think the one real piece, if you tell me that Gerrit Cole is getting back here June 1st and he's going to be some version of Gerrit Cole from that point on to the rest of the season, you'd have to feel very good about how the Yankee season's going to go. And if he's not coming back, or if he's not coming back until much deeper into the season, that kind of throws things into the mix, because the starting rotation, to me, I know they've done the job pretty much so far. You just, much like with the Mets, how deep is this? How long? Because even rotations that are set up well, they'll have their down stretches.
Absolutely.
So if you have a rotation like the Yankees or Mets have, there's going to be times where you go out there, you think, oh, my gosh, this guy in the fourth inning, this guy in the third inning, we're running into trouble already. So between Rodon and I still have questions about him, and you mentioned Nestor, and there's a lot of questions still about the Yankee rotation. So I would say that the number one concern is one that it's a guy that hasn't pitched all year, and when does he get back, and it would be Gerrit Cole.
Yeah, no question. And for the Met fan, it's the same. Our concern is about Kodai Senga. When's he coming back, and what is he going to be? You know, because right now the team is playing well. They're overcoming their pitching, and the pitching's not been bad. The bullpen has been better than I expected,
right,
Gordon, because I knew that early on they weren't going to get, the starters weren't going to give me length. Adrian Hauser's not giving me seven innings, six hits, two runs, Gordon. That's not what he's going to do. Not generally. You know, Severino was able to go to six and two thirds, I think he went. I mean, I was shocked because normally his pitch count is so high, he can't go no more than five. I don't have to tell you. You know how that is. But this is an interesting weekend for both teams, Gordon. Interesting weekend. They're facing teams that, you know, give them some issues. The Yankees have Tampa. And the Mets are going to the West Coast, and they open against Yamamoto. I'm very curious, Gordon, about one thing in this Met-Dodger weekend series. And it's not, it might not be what you think. I'll explain next on 98.7 ESPN.
This is ESPN New York Tonight with Larry Hardesty and Gordon Damer on 98.7 ESPN.
I hope he has no idea. I love watching him play. I hope that he plays a long time and is not stained at all. But there are a lot of really big question marks. And if they went in front of the Dodgers in South Korea and told them he has a gambling problem, the story is that Ohtani doesn't understand English, but picked up certain parts and confronted Ippy in the hotel. This guy has been in the States 7 years. He can't understand any English whatsoever. 7 years. Ichiro, always used an interpreter. Absolutely fluent in English. Fluent. Jim Cott came up to him one day at the batting cage at Yankee Stadium. Mm-hmm. Said, "How you doing?" He goes, "Couldn't be better. You're my brother from another mother." This is in fluent English. You telling me that Ohtani can't speak English?
Michael K. on the Michael K Show, Monday through Friday from 3 until 6:30, along with Don LaGreca and Peter Rosenberg here on 98.7 ESPN. And Gordon, that's a perfect transition into what I'm curious about this weekend. Will the Met writers have an opportunity to possibly talk to Ohtani, Gordon, and maybe ask the questions that we've been waiting for to ask about this whole situation? Because of, could it be that it will be, because as you remember when Matsui was with the Yankees, he had a contingent of Asian players, reporters and everything that would come in from town.
To follow
him. Okay. And they would, and when visitors came in of Asian descent, they would be able to have an opportunity to talk to, you know, Matsui. Is this going to be a scenario where maybe some of the New York Asian reporters will be able to come to talk to Ohtani and maybe get some answers? That's what I'm looking for this weekend, Gordon. I'm looking.
I think there is a better chance that you, Larry Hardesty, get called to pinch hit in a tie game in the ninth inning than anybody asking Ohtani any questions about this story or this case. He is bigger than the sport. He is controlling the entire situation. He doesn't want to talk. He doesn't talk. He doesn't want to face questions. He doesn't have to answer questions. It only begs more questions.
I know it does. It does.
Because none of this makes sense. None of it makes sense. And it still goes back to the very first day this whole story broke down when his spokesman, Ohtani's spokesman, quoted Ohtani as saying, "Yep, I sent several large payments. That's the maximum amount I could send." And then within 24 hours, it turned into Ippe was stealing from me. I had no idea.
Yep. That's right. It's amazing. It's amazing. It's gonna hang over his head and over baseball's head, Gordon, until it's solved. Yes, we'll continue to play the games. Yes, as long as he's hitting and playing and the Dodgers are doing well. We'll continue to go on with it. We'll continue. But in the back of your mind, it's still going to be there. It's still going to be there until we have some answers.
I think that it's going to fade because it does not seem like any of the big reporters who cover the sport are pushing for more answers. It seems like all the big reporters have decided, well, you know, now that we have the affidavit, and if you go through that, and I will admit, that does fill in some of the blanks and fill in some of the details.
And
I don't think that, at least for me, I never thought that this was Ohtani betting and Ippe was, but I do think that maybe it was something that they did together. Maybe it was something that Ohtani was funding his buddy because he knew his buddy liked doing. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But it feels like the established media has decided that this story is basically over now. Otani is 100% in the clear. And if you ask any questions or if you have any doubts that there's more to the story, you don't know what you're talking about. You're just a conspiracy nut. And I don't think that that's the case at all. I think that there's more than enough questions that are still out there. And it's almost like, well, sure, we're never going to have all the answers. How about some answers?
Yeah.
How about some where he actually faces questions in a public setting where he has to, and he can have his interpreter. I completely understand, like, the situation that Michael was giving about Ichiro. He feels more comfortable answering the questions, and maybe it allows him, speaking a second language, to kind of process the question first in a language he's pretty familiar with, and then in a language that is native to him. That's great. If he wants to do that, that's fine. But to not have to answer any questions, and it's like, this is all gone now. Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain. Let's move
what
on.
Curtain?
It's baseball. Let's talk baseball. Otani's in the clear. Don't worry about that old stuff.
Yeah, it's true. And of course, listen to the writers. You know how this goes, Gordon. You've been in locker rooms. He's taking no questions about anything that goes on with that.
Absolutely.
So guess what? Guess we can't ask anything.
Right.
Because if you ask, they're going to give you that. Gordon, you get that look.
That's it.
That steery-eyed look from the PR person. It's interesting. It really is. It really is. But it
damages your relationship in the future. And you have to pay for it. I get that. But
so you can't do it. You know, you're stuck.
He is. It's clear at this point, and he is a great star, and he's the biggest star in the sport and all that type of stuff. He's a bigger star than the sport that he plays. He's able to control the entire situation.
That's unusual. That's unusual, especially for a foreign-born player to be able to do that in what was once, quote, America's pastime, unquote. It's an interesting situation. Danny's in Long Island. What's up, Danny?
What's up, boys? Just finishing up a 16-hour tour so my son could have the unlimited salad bar at college and ignore my phone call at the same time. It's a wonderful world.
Nice. That's a good time, right? Or you just get the one-word response. Sometimes it's not even a full word. It's just like a letter. K.
Yeah. Yeah. A 37 questions I write. I mean, okay, good. Nice talking to you, pal. It's funny because when I turned in, I was off the radio for a while. I turned on and Dick was in the middle of quizzing you about the Oscars. I thought I turned into Joan Hamburg. I wasn't sure what I was listening to.
Right.
Sidney Poitier was great. You never know what you're going to get, but you always have to listen.
That's right.
Now, as far as Otani's concerned, when it first broke, I said, because I've been doing criminal investigations for quite a while, I said, let's see how it all plays out. But in my opinion, if Otani, because if you're the victim of a crime, you could have the option of saying, he took the money without, but it's a personal matter. I'm going to get restitution, and I'm not pressing charges. That's well within your right. I said if Otani does that, then I believe he was in on it. He wants to bury this as quick as he can. The fact that he pressed charges, and this guy's going to be if they arrest him, he's going to be taken back to extradition to the United States. Only a man-made, Otani, would have to be crazy to take that avenue if he was not, in fact, an innocent victim who was just so naive in the ways of the world. And let's remember, the world and entertainment world is littered with athletes and entertainers, from Billy Joel to Muhammad Ali to Elvis, that were robbed by people. And you ask yourself, how did you not know? Christy Brinkley, who doesn't take me as a bright light, said, why are we flying coach and our manager has his own plane? It took him 15 years to figure that out. So you never really know. But the fact that he's pressing charges and everyone's going to have to show up in court kind of tilts my feelings into the way that he must have been the victim. Otherwise, he wouldn't pursue this in this manner. And lastly, let's enjoy this nice, quiet day before the storm breaks tomorrow. Islanders, Rangers, Knicks, Mets and Yanks back in the next month. Let's hope it goes that long. You won't be able to catch your breath, folks. So hope you enjoy the day off.
All right, Danny. Thanks for checking in. It's a good point. It's a good point he's making, Gordon. You know, But then, Danny, you hear the story about what's the guy who went to jail for Barry?
Greg Anderson.
Yeah, then you hear that scenario, and you're like, okay, you know, what do you know? So,
well, look, I generally agree with Danny, right?
I do too.
He is pressing charge. This guy is going to jail. Why was the first statement that he was going to that it was he was covering the debts, and this is the most. Like, why was that the original statement? And then within 24 hours, it was completely different.
Mm-hmm. You're right. Things to make you go,
Yeah.
Why did they do that? Gordon, this is really rare, but the draft is a week from tonight, isn't it?
Yeah.
A week from tonight?
Yeah.
And for one of the rare times, we're not talking a lot of Jets. We're talking a lot of Giants for this draft. We'll hear from Joe Shane. Maybe he'll give us a light into the possibility of what they're going to do with that number six. Because we're hearing wide receiver.
Larry, we are hearing every possible. They are the anti-Otani. Otani's not giving us anything. The Giants are giving us everything.
This is ESPN New York Tonight with Larry Hardesty and Gordon Damer on 98.7 ESPN.
Like I said before, the expectation is for him to be our starter. Again, I don't have a crystal ball. I hope he doesn't have any setbacks. He's working his tail off. One of the things, you know, you go back and you watch the 2022 season or, you know, all of his throws in 2022, like he was a 25-year-old player that played at a high level and we won 10 games and we won a playoff game. And I'm still confident in Daniel, the way he's wired, what he showed us in 2022. Did we have the best start to the season last year? Absolutely not. And a lot, you know, anything that could have went wrong, it seems like it did early on between injuries and some other things. So I've still got a lot of confidence in Daniel.
Love my quarterback. Okay, right. We'll play along. Hardest thing in Denver until midnight here on 98.7 ESPN. And Gordon, listen, he's got to have him. He's got to say the right things. He's his quarterback this year. Doesn't mean he's going to be his quarterback after this year. Doesn't mean he's going to be, you know, his quarterback midway through the season, unfortunately, because Daniel Jones has had a history of, you know, taking vacation during the middle of the season. But it puts the Giants in an interesting position, Gordon. And look, in a perfect world, if there were another couple of quarterbacks top heavy in the draft, they would get a haul to trade down.
Yeah.
Oh, it would help them. They'd get a wide receiver. They'd get a lineman. They'd get a quarterback. They'd get a bunch of different things. But it's not that the quarterback is very top-heavy like it usually is. It's very top-heavy, and the top ones will be gone by six. So they're going to be in the position where I think they should take wide receiver. Now, I know they need and I don't. They will eventually take a quarterback, probably maybe second round, Gordon, maybe. They'll do something like that. But I don't see them taking the quarterback at six.
Yeah, it's tough to kind of get a read because it feels like every single day there's something different with the Giants. It's like as the world turns, as the Giants turn, one day it's they love the wide receivers, they need a wide receiver, then it's they're trading up for a quarterback, then it's they're getting one in the second round, they're trading down. It's Joe Shane has done a very good job of keeping us all confused. And listening to those comments, you would think that he is not planning on taking a quarterback, could still, because, oh, well, I didn't expect this guy would still be there at six, or we felt like this opportunity was just too perfect for us, so maybe. But listening to him there, you wouldn't think they're taking a quarterback. But where the disconnect comes is from those reports. Remember earlier in the offseason, they have buyer's remorse. They're done with Daniel Jones, that whole Rich Eisen report. And I'm wondering now if maybe that is the difference between the coach and the GM. Right? We hear from the GM, we're still on Daniel Jones. We like Daniel Jones. But it has never felt like the coach has been as big in favor of Daniel Jones as the GM has been. So I'm just wondering if maybe those comments came from somewhere else and there's a bit of a divide within the Giants organization about the future of the quarterback position.
Could be. All right, let's see if we can get some information from Joe Shane here. He was asked point blank, do you need a quarterback in the draft?
I don't think so. I think with, you know, Drew's experience, you know, he started games and played, and, you know, Daniel's experience and then what Tommy did last year, another year in the system. Tommy's come a long way, so I think we could go in with the season with the three that we have and, you know, I'd be comfortable with that.
What do you think, Gordon?
again, he's not really telling you anything there, but just kind of reading it, I don't get the sense, because it feels like for the Giants to get a quarterback, they need to trade up to get that quarterback. Now, again, it's lying season. It's all smoke. Who knows what's true, what's not true. It benefits him nothing to tell us what he's actually going to do.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe it's also partly that it feels like the GM is in a safer position than the coaches.
Yeah.
So the GM, he can afford to be a little bit patient when mm-hmm. it comes to drafting a quarterback, and it's not about getting a guy right now. It's about getting the right guy whenever that guy becomes available. Whereas with the coach, it feels like there's more heat in that hot seat than there is in
true.
The GM.
It's true. And following your train of thought, Gordon, he was asked, is it important to keep teams guessing during this part before the draft?
Yeah, I would say, especially at six, you know, where we're picking, I think, you know, again, at 25, it's a little bit, you're so far back there, you don't really know what's going to happen ahead of you. So, yeah, I think at six, it's important to, you know, keep things close to the vest. And, you know, again, so you can, you know, there's a competitive advantage to that, to people not knowing what you're thinking or which way you're going to go. And got to have a lot of trust, you know, when you're there, when you do have conversations, again, with people behind you looking to come up or whatever it may be. So, yeah, you try your best to keep your cards close.
Now, Gordon, they're in the real situation here. Darius Slayton, not in camp. Offseason workouts, didn't show up, looking for a contract. Darren Waller still like, I don't know when I'm coming back. I don't know.
We busted Aaron Rodgers' chops about deciding whether or not the whole darkness retreat.
Yeah,
all this.
Yeah.
At what point is Darren Waller going to decide if he's coming? I mean, when it's gone on this long, is there anybody who still says that, yeah, I'm full bore. I'm really into it.
He's retired, Gordon.
Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, he is.
He's retired. You know, it's not like he doesn't have a contract. Okay, he's not where Saquon Barkley was last year to say, okay, I'm not coming in. It's off-season workouts. I don't have a contract. He's not where he is.
No, but if he says he is playing, he cannot be part of your long-term plans.
Can't be.
If he's spending a month and a half deciding whether or not he is retired or not, you have to expect at some point pretty soon, if it's not right now already, he's going to retire. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, when he was thinking about it, he'd retired. I'm just saying, when he thought about it, he's one foot was out the door. Which means, my translation, I don't know that he wants to do the work to rehab the injury he had. To think, Gordon, that he could get hurt again. I mean,
yeah,
for
absolutely.
You
He's
as
been hurt
a player,
a lot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you've been hurt as much as he has, you know, am I really? How much more do I want to put my body through this to think that I'm going to play, what, 4 or 5 games? And, Gordon, are the Giants going, making a deep playoff run this year? I mean, when you look at the team.
They are rebuilding.
Yeah. You know, so that translates to me, wide receiver at 6.
You know, they just need a complete overhaul. And
it's
almost like they can't go through the car wash one time and get the car completely clean. They got to go through the car wash a second time to get the car completely clean.
Yep.
That's a dirty car. They need a lot on offense.
Yeah, no question about it. So, Joe Shane, are you getting a lot of calls at the 6th spot in the draft?
Surprisingly, at 6, we've gotten a lot of calls from people behind us. So I didn't think I'd have as much activity at 6 from people behind me as we've gotten. So those are options, too, as we look at, you know, if we go back, how far back do we want to go? Is this team for, okay, then for the stack I was just talking about, okay, now there's 10 names instead of 6 or 15 names. Instead. Where does it make sense for us to move back, and what else can we get with that? So we're taking all that, whether we go up, back, stay, all that's, you know, being talked about right now as we're going through it.
Is that Minnesota, Gordon, which has been the number one team that you've been rumored to move up in the draft to try to get JJ?
Yeah, well, look, it could be the Vikings have been mentioned. I think the Raiders have been mentioned a little bit. The Broncos certainly have been mentioned. They need a quarterback long term. So there's a bunch of teams that could be quarterback targets, but are there going to be quarterbacks still on the board at 6?
Yeah. That's the question.
I don't know how they're going to go off the board, but it feels like, at this point, it feels like that they're going to go 1, 2, 3, and 4.
Yeah, you would think.
And if you are of the belief that the Giants are a possible team that could target whatever that fourth quarterback is, if it's J.J. McCarthy, if it's Drake May, whoever, if you're the Vikings, if you're the Broncos, well, then you're saying, I don't want to trade with the Giants. I got to trade up ahead of the Giants.
Yeah. Yep. It's going to be interesting next week, Gordon Damer.
The draft is always fascinating because it's A, the time of hope for bad teams, right? Mm-hmm. You don't have fun. If you're a fan of a bad team, you don't have fun during the season. It's it's when the offseason comes and the draft. And there's – I was talking about this with Connor Rogers. There's almost like a WWE quality to the draft, right? The music hits and you're waiting on the it's almost like Survivor Series where you're waiting for the name to be read to find out who this next guy is.
Yep.
If you're a football fan, if you're a real diehard football fan, it's I know it's only reading of names. My wife will never understand why it's important. But if you're a diehard football fan, you love the NFL draft.
You do. You do, because it's that sense of expectation.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what will my team get better?
Hope.
Or, oh, my God, are we going to be bad again?
Right. It's hope. Yeah.
It is.
Absolutely.